As Catholics, we have an amazing gift. We have an incredible gift. We have a gift that is beyond any other gift that has ever been given. We have a gift that is, in the literal sense of the word, priceless. Literally priceless. It has no price. No money can be given to get this gift. Precious metals do not compare to this gift. The beauty of art and jewelry and architecture and scenery and everything else that you can imagine that's beautiful pales to this gift. This is the most incredible gift that we could have received as human beings, because this gift is our Lord Jesus himself. This gift is the Eucharist. Our Lord Jesus Christ present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the most holy Eucharist is the greatest, most incredible, most powerful, most beautiful gift that we could have ever received. This gift, the Second Vatican Council called the source and summit of our faith. The source, our faith flows from the Eucharist. What we do as Christians flows from the Eucharist. And our faith leads back to it. You think of the source of a river on a mountain that flows down, but we climb that mountain to the summit, to the top. That is what the Eucharist is. It is the most incredible gift that we have. And because it's such an incredible gift, we need to be reminded of its importance. That's why moving the tabernacle to the center became such a priority when I first got here. When I realized that permission had already been given to move it, it was important to do it as quickly as possible, because that's where this gift belongs. In the center of attention, in the center of our focus, where our eyes naturally focus, in the center of the sanctuary. It's that important of a gift that we place it in the most important position. Not the priest, but the tabernacle, or Lord Jesus. And we are reminded throughout the history of the church of the importance of this gift. I mean, you can go back through the writings of popes and saints and mystics, and they have tons and tons, books and books and books, libraries full of writings on how beautiful and important the Eucharist is. But our Lord himself even reminds us throughout the history of the church. There have been Eucharistic miracles, special miracles that have occurred throughout the history of the church that remind us and show us that Jesus is present in the Eucharist. We actually, someone donated a bunch of books on Eucharistic miracles that are in the back of the church. Pick them up, they're free, and read them. They talk about all kinds of different Eucharistic miracles from all the way back, you know, I'm looking here, all the way back to the 8th century to present day, Eucharistic miracles that have occurred in the church. Pick them up. Pick this up and take a look at them, because it's fascinating, the different miracles. You know, some of them are hosts that have bled, where during Mass, the priest is celebrating Mass and he holds up the host and it starts bleeding. Actual human blood starts coming out of it. Sometimes it happens because the priest himself doesn't even believe in what he is doing, that he is bringing about the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. And so the priest himself is reminded by this miracle. And in recent years, they've actually tested some of these hosts that have bled. And it's human blood, type AB positive, which also happens to be the same exact type that is on the Shroud of Turin. Not a coincidence. It's our Lord's blood. There was a miracle in the 13th century by St. Clare of Assisi. St. Clare was a compatriot of St. Francis. St. Francis and St. Clare worked together to found the Franciscans. St. Clare founded the Poor Clares, as we have in Great Falls, that religious order of contemplatives. She was the foundress of that order. And shortly after she had founded her monastery, See, Assisi was under siege, and they were breaking into the city, and they were coming, they were about to attack the monastery itself, her monastery. She took hosts from a tabernacle and held them on a balcony as this siege is going on, as this attack is going on. And the invading army turned away. They didn't attack the monastery. They didn't get into the monastery because of her willing to stand there with the Eucharist throughout this attack. In much more recent years, she died about 60 years ago, there's a woman in Portugal, Alexandrina de Costa. She had a very difficult life. When she was young, she had a very serious illness that affected her health through the rest of her life. As a teen, some people broke into her house to attack her, and she tried to escape out of a window but was paralyzed by the fall and spent the rest of her life basically confined to a bed. For the last 13 years of her life, she existed only on the Eucharist. She had no other food, no other nutrition, just the Eucharist, and lived for 13 years like that, and lived with joy for 13 years like that. Doctors came and were mocking her about, oh, she's hiding food and all this, but they couldn't prove it because it wasn't going on. She was living off the Eucharist. And there are many, many other miracles that, like I said, are in this book. Please do get a copy of it to take a look at, because there's a lot that our Lord has done to prove through his miracles. The best part, though, of this gift of the Eucharist is that it is given to us again and again and again every time we attend Mass. It's not a one-time gift. It is an everyday gift if we so wish. We can receive this gift over and over and over every time we attend Mass, even on a daily basis, if we attend daily Mass. And the most important aspect of this gift, it is the gift that leads to eternal life. It is a gift that our Lord gave us as the establishment of his new covenant that leads to eternal life. You know, in the readings we hear a lot about the covenants. We see the old covenant with Moses that was established with the Israelites for the promised land. And then we see our Lord who established a new covenant with his body and blood, giving himself for this covenant. And he continues to give himself for this covenant so that we might be saved from death, that we might be saved from sin, that no longer be the end. This is the gift that we have in the Eucharist. And it's the gift that I think many of us can take for granted. Many Catholics take this gift for granted, especially for those of us who have been raised Catholic, those of us who grew up in a Catholic family, because the Eucharist is always there, the Mass is always there. We don't think about it. We don't think that it might not be there someday. So we get complacent. We take it for granted. And then we don't often recognize the importance of what we have in the Eucharist. So many Catholics don't. You know, I've talked before about these surveys that we see where the number of Catholics who are regularly attending Mass is terrible. The numbers are terrible. The number of younger generations who don't even have a faith life. The number of Catholics who don't believe that this truly is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And I talk about these numbers because they are a clear way to show what we already know, what we already experience here, what we already see. All we have to do is look around our parish, our community, our diocese, and look at how the number of practicing Catholics has dropped in our lifetimes. To look at how many people that we know are baptized Catholics. They've gone through the sacraments, and they're nowhere to be found on Sunday morning, at least not here. Find them, you can find them elsewhere, just not here. You might even know it in your families. You might have brothers and sisters, children, grandchildren who were raised Catholic who aren't practicing. I have it in my own family. I have family members who aren't practicing, who have no practice of the faith whatsoever. We've taken the Eucharist for granted. And we continue to do so until something happens. Something like, I don't know, a worldwide pandemic that shut down our churches last year. Something like that, maybe. And we were fortunate. We were blessed in this diocese. In the United States, we were one of the last, if not the last, diocese to shut down. There were dioceses that were shut down a month before us. We were also the first in the country to reopen after 6 weeks. We were the first to reopen. So we were fortunate. We had basically the shortest period that our parishes were shut down, that we could not have public mass, that the average Catholic in this diocese could not receive our Lord in the Eucharist. And we did reopen. We opened with fairly reasonable restrictions that people could come. Some dioceses, even today, are restricted to the point where most Catholics can't go to Mass. Canada's one of them. I think they only just recently reopened a lot of Canada. And I think some parts of Canada still are locked tight. So we were fortunate. But this still should be a wake-up call for us to no longer be complacent about this gift of the Eucharist, but instead to recognize what we have, to recognize the beauty of this gift that we have, that now is the time to shake off our complacency with the Eucharist and to develop that relationship with our Lord, that we are open to receiving his gift in the Eucharist. Now, if we have a relationship with someone, we want to be with them, whether it's family members or friends. We want to spend time with them. It's not enough to just think about, oh yeah, I haven't seen that person in a while, but to actually be with them in their presence. Even if we don't do anything but just sit there, not talking, just sitting there, just to be in a person's presence is, for many of us, enough. Well, if we want to have a relationship with our Lord, just coming to Mass on most Sundays is not enough. We need to spend time with him. This is why spending time in prayer before the tabernacle, if not the monstrance in adoration, but actually spending time in prayer before our Lord is so important. We must take time for adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, even if it is just coming here and spending time before our Lord. Ideal, like I said, is to enter into actual adoration where we put the host in the monstrance and you can see our Lord in the monstrance. But even just to spend time before him in the tabernacle. And also, along with that, with spending time with him, we also need to get that which keeps us from him, our sins. Our sins cut us off from our Lord. We need to get that out of our lives. We need to confess those sins to him through the sacrament of confession so that we might root that sin out of our lives. This is why it's so important that we develop a practice of regular confession. And how I define regular is at least once a month. I know the church says once a year is the minimum, what we commonly call the Easter duty. Once a month, minimum. Receive this beautiful sacrament that helps to cleanse our souls so that we may see our Lord and desire to be with him in the Eucharist, where he is present here among us. If we do these two things, adoration and confession, it is like fertilizer for our souls, preparing our souls to receive Him. Preparing our souls to receive Him when we come to Mass and receive Him in communion. It's a preparation. Our Lord is here waiting for us to come spend time with Him. Now, the ideal, of course, is to do a holy hour, to come spend an hour with Him. Preferably every day, but that's often impossible because of our family obligations, our job obligations, or things that are going on in the world makes it sometimes very difficult to do that. So if we can't come spend an hour with Him, how about half an hour before Mass? We come here and we spend time with Him. And notice the emphasis is we come here half an hour before Mass to spend time with Him. We have a bad habit as Catholics. We like to visit before Mass. We like to have noise before Mass. We need to be taking that time for Him, either for individual prayer or ideally a practice that has gone away in many, many parishes, communal prayer, such as the Rosary. That's gone away. But we need to take some time before Mass to be with our Lord and to be talking to Him before Mass. We need to have that silent time with Him. And then after Mass, to not immediately rush out the doors and off to wherever, but to spend some time thanking Him. Again, another practice that has gone away in many parishes is just to kneel down, even for just a few seconds, 15 seconds, half a minute, and thank Him for the gift, for that gift that we have received. If we do these things, if we take this time with our Lord, we will develop that relationship with Him. And as we develop that relationship, an interior silence will develop. Now, this interior silence isn't deafness. It's not a lack of hearing. It's a stillness. It's a stillness in our souls. It's an openness to Him and doing His will in our lives. It's not worrying. One of the great saints and mystics from the 16th century is Saint Teresa of Avila. And she says, "Let nothing trouble you. Let nothing make you afraid. All things pass away. God never changes. Patience obtains everything. God alone is enough." If we spend time with our Lord in adoration, if we seek the sacrament of confession on a regular basis, we can develop that stillness of our soul where we can say, "God alone is enough," in our lives. Because ultimately, that is part of the gift of the Eucharist. To be able to say that God alone is enough. See why this is such a great gift? And it's free. We have the greatest gift the world has ever seen. We absolutely have the greatest gift the world has ever seen. And he will very shortly, this gift will be given to us again. And we will receive this gift again. The question is, though, do we recognize Him in the gift?